Okay, good evening, good evening, good evening. All right. Let's pray. Father, we come in the name of Jesus, giving you all the honor, all the glory, all praise, all blessing, all thanksgiving. Father, we are so thankful. Thankful for this day, for this time, for this season, Lord God. So thankful, Lord God, for all that you're saying, for all that you're doing, Lord God, in us, for us, Lord God, through us, by us. Thank you, Lord God, for our man of God, our apostle. Thank you, Lord God, for all the anointing, the revelation, Lord God, illumination, manifestation, Lord God, that you have given to him for us, Lord. Thank you for all the instructors. Thank you for all the students, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God, that we're growing stronger and stronger every day, Lord God. We're so thankful that you're equipping us, Lord God. You are equipping us, Lord God, to be vessels fit for your use. And we give you the praise for it, Lord God. And we give you all the honor for it. Lord, thank you for what you're going to say tonight. Thank you for what you're going to do tonight. Hallelujah. We give you the praise and the honor and the glory for it. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. I was going over my notes, and I know we were in book two, chapter one, prayer and faith. And we had just about completed that chapter. But there were a couple things that I wanted us to go over right where I left off, because a lot of times when I'm coming down to the end, I feel like I'm rushing. You know, I'm saying it, but I'm rushing. And so I'll just go over it again. It's just amazing to me that we are at the end of the first semester. You know, we are at the end. We're approaching the end. I think we have one more class for this, for this semester. Yes, one more class, unless we get some instructions from an apostle or from Dean. And then, you know, before we know it, we'll be coming back for the second semester. Now, the second semester goes faster than the first semester. I want y'all to know that, because we start off with the ministers' conference. You know, so we won't have class the week of the ministers' conference. I think it starts that Tuesday. I don't remember if they have class on Monday or not, but they'll let you know. And then second year students at that point become focused on graduation. They're here, but they're not here. Okay, but the second semester, I want you to know it goes really, 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 really fast. Amen. Okay, so we're going to be completing the chapter on prayer and faith, and then we'll go on to our next lesson. I think I went over this, but you know we'll do it again. We looked at John 14 verses 12 through 14, where Jesus said, and our author says, Jesus said concerning prayer, "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father." And then he said, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name," Jesus said, "I will do it." Amen. And I had a little note to the side here, make a demand, because that's what he's talking about there. You know, making a demand on the devil, on situations and circumstances that are contrary. Amen. That's the demand he's talking about. Then the author went on, he says, "Faith in Christ is the basis of all working and all praying." Faith, remember we're doing prayer and faith. He said, "Faith in Christ is the basis of all working and all praying. All wonderful works depend on wonderful praying. And all praying is done," he said, "in the name of Jesus Christ." Now, he's not talking about just the name, remember? He's also talking about the person, you know, and we talked a little bit about the character. The name of Christ, the person of our Lord, he got that word again, the person of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, must be supremely sovereign in the hour of prayer. And then he made this statement. If Jesus dwells at the source of our lives, if the flow of his life has replaced all of our lives, amen, remember we talked about that, then he can safely commit the praying to our will. Well, we're not there yet, amen. I'm not there. I can't talk about y'all. I'm not there yet. But we're working on it. Yeah. You know, we're working on it. And I must say that we're closer now than we were before. But I think there is a point where, you know, I guess I use the word infused. I have it down here in my notes. Infused with Jesus. Isn't that something? Infused, you know, with Jesus. That's what we want. That's what we want. We want our lives to be infused with him so that his will is our will. And then our will becomes his will. You know, it's all one. Amen. And then we looked at Mark 11:22. It says, have faith in God. Faith covers worldly as well as spiritual needs. You know, sometimes people think faith is just related to spiritual things. And then we talked a little bit about faith living in the present. Faith lives in the present and regards the day as being sufficient unto the evil thereof. That's over in Matthew 6:34. Faith brings great peace of mind and perfect peace of heart. Over in Isaiah 26:3, we read, thou will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Amen? Whose mind is stayed on thee. That's their soul. Keep your soul in check. Keep your focus on the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Amen? On the Word. Glory to God. When we pray, give us this day our daily bread. Matthew 6:11. We are in a measure shutting down tomorrow out of our prayer. Remember we talked about that. We do not live for tomorrow, but for today. We do not look for tomorrow's grace, or tomorrow's bread. Amen. I wish I could say that. Because a lot of times you're either looking back at the past and then you're worried about what's going to happen tomorrow. You know, I think that's a part of our human nature. But I think the more we allow our lives to be, I'm going to use that word again, infused with Jesus, the more focused we're going to be in the present. I think Dr. Montrell is one. I think he was one of the first ones I heard talk about being in the present moment, being in the present moment. Again, when we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are in a measure shutting down tomorrow out of our prayer. We do not live for tomorrow, but for today. We do not look for tomorrow's grace or tomorrow's bread. Amen. Those who live in the present, those who live in the present, those who live in the present thrive best and get the most out of life. And so you say, Lord, how do you do that? You know, how do you not be concerned, or overly, I'm not going to say not concerned, overly concerned about tomorrow? Well, you got to trust the Holy Ghost. Amen? Trust the Holy Ghost. Our prayer for tomorrow's needs. He says, let me see, those who pray best pray for today's, not tomorrow's needs. Our prayer for tomorrow's needs may be unnecessary because they may not exist at all. Amen? Look, I said here, they may be solved today. And, you know, here you are worrying about them today because it's going to be tomorrow. And we used to say tomorrow never come. You know, so sometimes those things that we're worried about never come. Amen? They're taken care of. Amen. True prayers are born out of present trials, our author says, and present needs. Bread given for today is the strongest pledge that there will be bread tomorrow. If he did it for me today, or if he even did it yesterday, amen, he's going to take care of this other thing too. Glory to God. Our prayers need to be focused on the present. We must trust God today and leave tomorrow entirely with him. The present is ours. The future belongs to God. Prayer is the task and duty of each new day. That's why it's so important to pray daily. Amen. Pray daily. Amen? Daily prayer, our author says, for daily needs. I had a little note here. Put it in his hands. My future is in his hands. Amen? No amount of praying done today will be sufficient for tomorrow's praying. On the other hand, no praying for tomorrow is of any great value for us today. Leave tomorrow with his cares and needs and troubles in God's hands. Amen? Don't be anticipating nothing. Just go ahead on and live for today. Glory to God. Glory to God. And so, you know, that's our chapter on prayer and faith, and the whole emphasis was on how important faith is in your praying. You can't just think I'm just gonna pray without believing, amen, and trusting. You gotta believe in your prayers. You know, you gotta know that God hears me and that God is gonna answer me, amen, amen. So I think he, you know, our author, he gave us a good foundation. Now, we're going to go ahead. I told you I was going to go ahead on to that other chapter that he wrote on faith. But I was just so amazed, because when he talked about, this is book 5, chapter 1. And the title, the book is Obtaining Answers to Prayer. That's the book. That's the title of book 5. Chapter 1, the title is Faith in Prayer. Mm-hmm. To my utter amazement, our author focused solely on the Old Testament. Amen. Solely on the Old Testament. He did not give us one New Testament example. He made the statement, the men and women of the Old Testament saw God as their Father and felt that prayerful communion, there is our word, prayerful communion with him was a natural part of life. You know, and he says that that's what happened in the Old Testament. This is book 5, chapter 1. But before we get into the examples, there are some things I want to share with you that I want you to keep in mind as we look at these examples. And as we look at the examples, don't just look at them. And this is one of the things that an apostle has been emphasizing with us as a Bible story. Look at them as, Lord, what are you saying to me? You know, how does this relate to my life? And I'll do some, and I'm trusting that the Holy Ghost is going to do some others. Amen? But one of the things I want to put you in remembrance of, students here as well as the students online, remember Old Testament believers were not born again. Amen? They were not born again. Jesus, you know, had not come. Amen. They relied primarily on the king, the priest, and the prophet. Those were the people in the Old Testament who had the Spirit of God. When something came up, they had to go to the priest. They had to go to the prophet. I guess, and sometimes they must have gone to the king. Amen. Because he was the one to help, you know, solve some of the problems. They did not have what we have today. Amen? I said people had to rely on these three for a word from the Lord. Isn't that something? Turn to Romans 15. Romans 15. This is just a little foundation that I want to give you before we go into this chapter. Like I said, because he focused only on the Old Testament, these are things I want you to keep in mind as we look at these examples. Romans 15, verse 4. And we see in Romans 15, verse 4, for whatsoever things were written aforetime were written for our learning, that we, through patience and comfort of the Scriptures, might have hope. And I have a little note here. For hope, confident expectation. Confident expectation, okay? But again, the things that are written in the Old Testament were written, we see here, for our learning, so that we could learn from those things. Now turn over to 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Verse 11, and I just like 12, so, you know, I just threw 12 in there. We're going to read it. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 11, and it says, now all these things happened unto them for examples. Amen. Talking about in the Old Testament. Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they are written for our admonition. Now, I looked up that word admonition for us, and I found this. There were other definitions, but I found this one that I like. Admonition, an act or action of admonishing. And then he said, authoritative counsel and warning. Amen? Authoritative counsel or warning. That's what an admonition is. And it says these things were written as authoritative counsel and warning to us. Amen. Upon whom the ends of the world are come. So, you know, we see that the whole purpose of everything that's written in the Old Testament, one, for our learning, and then now we see there are examples for our counsel and our warning. Now I want you to turn over to Hebrews chapter 10. And again, all of this is because, like I said, our author focused just on the Old Testament. And I want you to see how important this is. We can learn, and we can be warned, and we can be counseled by what they went through. Mm-hmm. Hebrews 10. I'm going to begin at verse, okay, my notes, I said 9. Oh, it's going to be a lot of reading. Oh, my. Okay, Hebrews 10. I'm going to start at verse 9. Then said he, well, let's see. Do I need to go up higher? Well, we know he's talking about Jesus, so amen. Then said he, lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, talking about the commandment, amen, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once for all. And every priest standeth daily, ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins in the Old Testament. But this man, talking about Jesus, he called him this man, huh? But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. Whereof the Holy Ghost also is the witness to us. For after that he had said before, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws into their hearts, and in their minds will I write them. And their sins and their iniquities will I remember no more. Now, where remission of these is, there is no more offering for sin. Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. We used to sing a song. It was years ago. Now I can go into the Holy of Holies. In the Old Testament, nobody could go but the priest. Amen. Nobody but the priest. You know, and I hear men and women of God talk about it, and they said they used to put bells on the bottom of their robes because if they weren't right, you know, they could fall dead if they went in there. But now, because of Jesus, you know, we don't need anybody to go in for us. We can go into the Holy of Holies for ourselves. Amen? So we have boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus. He said, by a new and a living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works. Amen. But I wanted you to see, like in the Old Testament, they would not dare enter into the holiest. It was not allowed. You know, God had set it up. But today, you know, we can go into the holiest. You know, and over in Hebrews 4 and 16, it says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace help in time of need. Remember that? Amen. Amen. So, we have a better covenant than they had in the Old Testament, and we have better promises. And so, when we read about these Old Testament saints and their faith in prayer, we have to realize that we're in a much better position than what they were in. Amen. Amen. All right, Mr. Bounds, our author, he says, in the Old Testament, prayer and God's loving and powerful answer to it are the major themes of the Old Testament. Prayer and God's loving and powerful answer to prayer are the major themes. So he begins with Joshua. I mean, Joshua prayed that the sun stand still. Isn't that something? Joshua chapter 10, talking about faith in prayer, faith in prayer. I mean, these people just believe God. We're going to see some things. We're going to see some things. I mean, it's like, oh, my God, this is so good. This is so good. Okay, Joshua chapter 10. We're going to begin at verse 8. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not. For, you know, he's in a battle here. He's fighting. He's fighting. You know, Moses gave him the order to take the children into the promised land. Remember that? So now he's in a battle. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Now remember, Moses also told him, be strong and be very courageous. Amen. He told him that. And then we read over in that, in the first chapter. We don't need to go back there. But again, that's what he's telling him. Be strong and be very, very, very courageous. And so he's telling them here, you know, look, you don't have to be afraid. You know, I have all, God is, he says that to us. You know what I'm saying? But we're going to see here, Joshua is going to take God at his word. He's going to take him at his word. He's going to have faith in what God had told him to do. And the Lord said unto Joshua, fear them not, for I have delivered them into thine hand. There shall not a man of them stand before thee. Joshua therefore came unto them suddenly and went up from Gilgal all night. And the Lord discomfited them, amen, before Israel, and slew them with a great slaughter at Gibeon, and chased them along the way that goeth up to Beth Horon, and smote them to Ezekah and unto Mekeda. And it came to pass, as they fled from before Israel, and were in the going down to Beth Horon, that the Lord cast down great stones from heaven upon them. I mean, he's doing what he said he was going to do. Unto Ezekiah, and they died. There were more which died with hailstones than they whom the children of Israel slew with the sword. Then spake Joshua to the Lord. I want to see how far I got to go. Then spake Joshua to the Lord in the day when the Lord delivered up the Amorites before the children of Israel. And he said, in the sight of Israel, in the sight of all the people, amen. Son, stand now still. He needed a little bit more daylight. I heard one man say he needed some more daylight. They fighting, and he didn't need night to come. He needed to fight while the sun was still shining. And he said, stand now still, and thou moon in the valley of Ajalon. Look at verse 13. And the sun stood still, and the moon stayed, until the people had avenged themselves upon their enemies. Is not this written in the book of Jasher? So the sun stood still in the midst of heaven and hasted not to go down about a whole day. Amen. 24 hours, if you can imagine. Amen. Wow. This is an Old Testament saint who told the sun, stand down still. And the son obeyed him. Amen. Faith in prayer. Hallelujah. Faith in prayer. Now, the next one he talks about is Jacob. Now, we have looked at Jacob a little bit already. But our author says, Jacob was a man of prayer, and he trusted in the God of prayer. When Jacob fled from Esau, remember his brother, you know, we looked at that before. In a dream, he saw the angels of God ascending and descending on a ladder that stretched from earth to heaven. Now, we all know that. You know, we are climbing Jacob's ladder. Y'all remember that little song? I can remember it. Every round goes higher and higher. Yeah, y'all remember that. So, and we find this account over in Genesis 28. And I'm going to read Genesis 28, 10 through 17. This is the account. And then we're going to, I'll let you know where we're going to go. Amen. The main thing is Old Testament saints. So we're asking ourselves, what is the learning? Amen. What is the counsel? What is the warning that we're seeing here? Amen. Genesis 28, verse 10. And Jacob went out from Beersheba and went toward Haran. And he lighted upon a certain place and tarried there all night because the sun was set. And he took of the stones of that place and put them for his pillows and lay down in that place to sleep. And he dreamed, and behold, a ladder set up on the earth, and the top of it reached to heaven. And behold, the angels of God ascending and descending on it. Amen. Ascending and descending on it. Oh, my. They're still doing that, you know. Amen. Angels still, they're still doing it. And behold, the Lord stood above it and said, I am the Lord God of Abraham, thy father, and the God of Isaac, The land whereon thou liest, to thee will I give it, and to thy seed. And thy seed shall be as the dust of the earth. And thou shalt spread abroad to the west and to the east, oh my God, and to the north and to the south. And in thee and in thy seed shall all the families of the earth be blessed. And behold, I am with thee and will keep thee in the places whither thou goest, and will bring thee again into this land. For I will not leave thee until I have done that which I have spoken to thee of. That sounds like he's standing over, I mean, he's watching over his word to perform it, huh? Doesn't it sound like that? Yep. Amen. And Jacob awaked out of his sleep and said, look at what he said, surely the Lord is in this place. Now look at this. And I knew it not. We prayed that at one time, but we prayed to know it. Amen. Amen. We wanted to know it. We said, the Lord is in this place, and we know it. And then verse 17, and he was afraid and said, how dreadful is this place? This is none other but the house of God, and this is the gate of heaven. Amen? Amen. And then he goes on, our author makes the point, as a result of this dream, Jacob entered into a very definite covenant with Almighty God. In prayer, Jacob made a vow to the Lord. Let's go down to verse 20, same chapter. And Jacob vowed a vow, saying, if God will be with me and will keep me in this way that I go, and will give me bread to eat and raiment to put on, so that I come again to my father's house in peace, then shall the Lord be my God. And this stone, which I have set for a pillar, shall be God's house, and of all that thou shalt give me, I will, look at here, he tithing, I will give the tenth unto thee, amen? So, you know, that this is Jacob, a man of prayer who's trusting in God. Now, we're going to see that God is going to tell him to go home. Go back, and then he's going to be, and we looked at this before, he's going to be so nervous because of his brother Esau, remember? With a deep sense of his utter dependence on God, Jacob conditioned his prayer for protection. That's what he was saying, protection, blessing, and guidance with a solemn vow. Thus, Jacob supported his prayer to God with the vow. Becoming very wealthy, Jacob decided to return home. It occurred to him that he must meet his brother Esau, whose anger had not been abated over this passage of time. And I have a note here, over 20 years, Esau is still mad with his brother. However, God has said to him in Genesis 31 and 3, return unto the land of thy fathers and to thy kindred, and I will be with thee. I made a little note here. You know, I have little notes all over my notes. I have notes over my notes. Anger, resentment, ill will will hinder our prayers. And we know this. You know, we know this. I know this. I know. And a lot of times, Apostle has taught us on this, and he's constantly telling us right now, you know, where we are, what God desires to do for us right now. The challenge is that we must walk in love. Amen. You know, he's telling us every week, you got to walk in love. And so, you know, that means, you know, getting rid of the anger, getting rid of the resentment, getting rid of the ill will. And so you have to ask yourself, well, how do you do this? You know, how do you do this? I've been wronged. They hurt me. They talk about me for no reason. How do I do this? And you know, we're talking about faith. We have to do it by faith. You know, we have to say, I forgive. You know, the apostle has led us in prayers and confessions about forgiveness. You know, I forgive. I forgive from the heart. And then, you know, you come back and you see that person and you're like, oh, and it's like, maybe I didn't forgive. You know, it's by faith. You know, you have to just remind yourself that I forgave. Amen. And, you know, the more you say it, the more you're going to believe it. And finally, you'll get to the point that you can look at them and it doesn't even bother you. It's like, I was one of those before I came to Word of Life. I must say, before I came to Word of Life, I would say, I can forgive, but I will never forget, you know. I will never forget. But I found out, you know, this walking in love, allowing the Holy Ghost to work through you. Not only do you forgive by faith, but eventually you forget. You know what I'm saying? Now, there are some people, you may have to keep them at arm's length. You know what I'm saying? I mean, that's for your, God, he gives us wisdom. You know, well, he did it before. I'm not gonna let you do it 2-3 more times here. I'm gonna love you. I'm gonna walk in love. But you know, I'm gonna keep you at arm's length. But we can do this. We can do this. We can forgive. We can get rid of the anger and the resentment and the ill will. Why? Because it's hindering our prayers. Some of our prayers are not being answered because we're holding on to some things. I have to laugh now, you know, at some of the things that I held on to. And that was some resentment I had that I didn't even know I had, you know. And it's like, oh my God. But when you trust the Holy Ghost, he'll bring it up to you, you know, and he'll show you, look, this is an area here. You need to get straight. You need to walk in love. And just remember, it's by faith. You know, I forgive. You know, and if you have to do it 5 times a day, I forgive. I forgive. I release. I let it go. You know? But again, you know, arm's length. God gives us wisdom, you know. You don't just let people just trample all over you. You can love them from a distance. Amen. Amen. Okay. So God told him to return unto the land. All he's thinking about is my brother Esau is back there. Remember, we looked at that. Jacob prayed all night until he had at last obtained the victory. He struggled. Remember that one where he struggled with the angel? Genesis 32. We're right there. Just turn over a couple pages. This is this Old Testament. But remember, it's for our learning. Yeah. Amen. It's for our learning. And I like this. I like this account. I'm gonna share a couple of things with you, because it shows how God worked on both ends. You know, he was getting some things straight in Jacob, you know, preparing him. You know, you go home. Because, I mean, Jacob was a rascal. You know, he told his brother, said, I'm hungry. Give me some of that food. Give me your birthright. You know, he was a schemer. That's right. He was a schemer. That's what they said. He was a schemer. Amen. So over in Genesis 32, starting at verse 24. And Jacob was left alone and there wrestled with a man. Now we know the man is an angel. Wrestled a man with him until the breaking of the day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, when the man saw that he prevailed not against Jacob, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, let me go, for the day breaketh. The angel is telling him, let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me. Amen. And he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, let's see. And he said, Jacob. And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob. Look at here. But Israel. For as a prince has thou power with God and with men, and has prevailed. Amen. I mean, changed his name right there on the spot. You know, he was no more Jacob. He is now Israel. Isn't that something? Amen. And no, yeah, no more trickster. God responded by blessing Jacob richly and changing his name. God, knowing the desire of Jacob's heart, blessed him further by removing Esau's angry nature. Amen. God was working on both ends. And I've shared this with you before. Sometimes, you know, God will tell us to do something, go witness to somebody, go do something for somebody. And all we're thinking about is what that person did, what that person stand for, and how am I gonna go there, and how am I gonna do this? But you gotta understand, when God tells us to do something, he is already working. Amen. He's working on us, giving us the strength, giving us the wisdom that we need to carry out his instructions. And then he's working on the other end. Amen. So that they can receive what it is that he's sending you there on an assignment. Amen. Now, I'll share with you about my coming to Word of Life Christian Center. I was in a family church. My grandmother actually, led me there, and she was a member there, and all my family was there. But my children came to Vacation Bible School when Word of Life Christian Center was down in Darrow. And my daughter came back and she said, believe it in your heart, speak it with your mouth. And it's like, what? You know, what you saying? And, you know, and the next day she came back with something else. And so my ears were perking up to, you know, to what she was saying. And they would have little programs, and so I went to the program. And then eventually I decided, along with some friends, to go check out Word of Life Christian Center. We had heard so much. But thank God we did not believe anything that we heard. Amen. We didn't. You know, we heard Apostle Minister at a banquet that our church had sponsored. And I tell everybody, I had never heard anyone teach on love the way he taught on love that night. I knew God loved the world. I did not know God loved me. But that night, I found out that God loved me. And it was like, it was just so amazing. It's like, oh my God, God loved me. So I had to go check it out. You know, so we went to the service. And I got hooked. I can tell you all the song they sang. I can't tell you about the message. But the song was, shake off those heavy bands, lift up those holy hands, and praise the Lord. I remember that song. And I said, oh, okay. So I went back another Sunday. And I went back another Sunday. Eventually, the group stopped going. But I kept going. So, I mean, I would go one Sunday out of every month, and every Bible study. That's just what I did. They changed. I was in the choir. They changed our choir rehearsal to the Bible study night. I got out of the choir. You know, that's when you know you're in trouble. You know, when you're willing to do that, you're in trouble. So I knew the Lord was calling me in a Word of Life Christian Center. I played around, I tell y'all, for about a year and a half. Oh, wow. At least a year and a half. And it's like, I know. And I would, you know, tell my friend, I say, I believe the Lord calling me at Word of Life Christian Center. And, you know, one of my friends, and she says, well, and it sounded so spiritual. Okay, so this is where the wisdom of God comes and the discernment of God. She said, you can go to anybody's house and eat, but you don't have to move in. And I said, oh. I said, yeah, you're right. Yeah, you're right. But the Lord began to show me. But when it's your house, you can eat as much as you want, anytime you want. You know, he was showing me that, you know, when you go to somebody else's house, you can only eat what they give you. You know? But when it's your house, I say, all right, thank you, Holy Ghost. Didn't know that much about the Holy Ghost, but all I knew, I was thankful, man. I said, okay. So I got rid of that. And then finally, you know, I was planning to go to church that New Year's Eve, and my son got sick. Now, normally my husband always came home, but he didn't come home that night, so I couldn't go. I said, I'm going to show him something, devil. I said, I'm going the first Sunday, which was our communion. A good Baptist never miss communion, you know, never miss. But I went to Word of Life Christian Center that first Sunday in January. And something he said told me, this is your day. Amen, this is your day. And so I got up and I joined. But I was so scared to go home and tell my mama. Oh, my mama was born again, thank the Lord. Amen. But she was very opinionated, you know, and very emotional. And I said, I know what she gonna do. I know what she gonna say. So I went there and I told her after church. I say, Ma, I joined Word of Life Christian Center today. Before my mama could respond, my sister intervened. She said, well, we knew you were going to join eventually. My sister did. My mama's mouth stayed shut. She did not say a word. The only thing she said to me was, well, you better call a pastor. So here I go, another hurdle, okay? I say, all right. I go home. Now, he did not baptize me, but I had been under this man all of these years. And I called him. And I said, I want you to know I joined Word of Life Christian Center today. He said, okay, baby. All right. As if he didn't even know me. I hung up the phone and said, thank you, Jesus. Because I didn't want anybody to come in and say anything that was going to mess with the decision that I had made. And you see how God was working. He was working on me. You know, you've been here. You know this is where you're supposed to be. He worked on my mama. He worked on my sister. He worked on my pastor. So when he's telling you to do something, don't be afraid. He's already working it out for you. Amen? You know, and this is just an example, just to show you. Just like he worked on Jacob and he worked on Esau. Jacob thought Esau was just going to kill him. He was going to slaughter him because of all the dirty, low-down, trickering things that he did to him. But instead, you know, when you read on about this, he hugged his neck. Amen? Amen. And so his worst fears were not realized. Amen? Don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. When God gives you an assignment, and this is what's happening right now, he's giving us assignment. Don't be afraid. He's working it out for you. Amen? He's working it out. Now, the other thing I want to share with you, I had an experience. We were talking earlier before class started about experiences. I had an experience in prayer meeting that I wanted to share with y'all. I got a minute and a half. Our definition of prayer, the one that we have been using, is that, you know, prayer is not a monologue. It's not just you talking. It's a dialogue. It's you talking and it's God talking to you. We were in prayer meeting, and I was praying in the Holy Ghost, just praying in the Holy Ghost. And I found my prayer language changed. It was different. And it's like, okay, what's going on? What's going on? You know, and then after it changed, you know, in a little while, he spoke a word. And it's like, okay, all right, amen, I received that, thank you, Lord. You know, that's what we do, amen, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord, thank you, Lord. But then the Holy Ghost began to tell me, he said, in prayer, when you're praying, you start off with you praying to God. But then when you notice your prayer language changing, it is God talking to you. Amen? It is God talking to you. That's just, and it was just so profound. It was just so amazing. And then the Holy Ghost began to interpret what had been said. Unbelievable. believable. Y'all listen for that. As students, begin to listen for that. Online students, begin to listen for that. You start off praying to God, but then there's a point in your prayer where God, through the Holy Spirit, takes over, and he begins to pray through you. Amen? And then the Holy Spirit will give you the interpretation. Amen?
Amen.
All right, I'll see y'all next week.